Welcome to Too Many Tabs, the only podcast where a husband and wife duo sit across from each other at a table. And the husband or the wife, one of them,
somebody
does some research, and then they present that research to the other person.
Aggressively.
Uh-huh. Because they've opened how many tabs?
Too many.
And you know what I've discovered recently?
What?
A lot of people have told me that this podcast is the ultimate relationship test.
How?
Because there are people who've like listened to this show for like either a long time or even a short amount of time. Like they end up binging it, and then they're like, oh, I really like this, so I want to present this to my romantic partner.
Okay, yep. Uh-huh.
And if that romantic partner doesn't like them, they break up.
You gotta break up.
You have to leave them.
I'm sorry, what's not to like? What do you, you don't like potatoes?
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.
As always, our theme song is brought to you by the wonderful, the amazing, what's his name, Mrs. P?
His name was Dusk.
That's incorrect. And you can find more about him at the bottom of our show notes. Also, remember to always check our show notes for all the fun announcements that we always have down there, like my live shows, how to join our Patreon,
yep.
other fun things that we have going at all times. One thing that's happening that right now on our Patreon.
What's that?
Is our topic suggestion thread.
Oh, yeah, I made it live today.
Yes, you did. It was live as of May 1st, and now it is out there. We'll be there till May 10th. We're going to take any of the comments down there, and we'll weigh them. Against
yeah.
other
I'm
people.
I'm going to do light research. I'm gonna click around. I'm going to see what tickles the fancies.
Yeah.
And the things that are maybe, I look at them and I go, this might be better for Alex to go down this hole.
Yep.
I'll send it his way.
Yeah. Or, you know, if the listeners themselves, when they're down there, they want to say, hey, I want Mr. P to cover this versus Mrs. P. Go ahead and let us know.
They're like, hey, you got any stuff and things?
Yeah.
That's for Mrs. P.
Yeah. Just in general, that
just
type of stuff.
Stuff and things.
But with all of that, though, yeah, we have the show tickets have been going well.
Uh-huh,
we have June 8th coming up for me live in Portland.
Yep.
And then June 13th, I'll be live in Buffalo, New York. Both of those are Helium locations. All those links, all those other fun things, they're all down there in the show notes and in my link tree and all that other fun stuff that we have floating out there.
Yeah.
So with that, I think we should just get into today's episode.
Absolutely. What are we talking about?
Okay. So... it's a good point. I really should probably mention this. There's a guy we haven't really talked about too much on this podcast. It was kind of a choice because people have not wanted to remember or just deal with the fact that he exists.
Sometimes it's nice to take an hour or two and not
think about Donald Trump.
That's
the problem. But we were coming at this in a little bit of a different way. And it's because somebody asked me, hey, what's the deal with Donald Trump and WWE?
Well,
the World Wrestling Entertainment Organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've done my research on. A lot of this I knew off the top of my head, but then suddenly I started to notice some parallels.
What do you mean parallels?
We're going to get into it right after this quick message from our commercial sponsors. Unless you're listening on Patreon, which you can go to pearlmania500.net, and then you can listen ad-free.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And we're back here. All right. So we're going to start here. So I'm going to start out by telling you who Donald Trump is. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, everybody knows.
He is a very rich man who's never done anything wrong in his whole life.
Okay. I need you to say right now that you're being sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay, because we've slowly discovered through my life on social media that some people don't understand sarcasm.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So we want to be very clear about
that. I was just kidding.
Okay. Now, what
he's
I will...
He's a very bad president. All of Atlantic City, like, all the casinos aren't even there that he was in charge of.
Yeah, and we're going to get...
Because he's super bad at it.
We're going to get into that. But I want to be clear about a few things. We are not Donald Trump fans. So if you are a listener, I don't know how you've made it this long with thinking we were. But I have been a lifelong wrestling fan.
Yeah.
But that being said, I am not a fan of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who is the now former CEO and chairman of World Wrestling Entertainment, also formerly known as the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
So those two men are really who I want to talk about today. So Donald Trump was born June 14th, 1946, to his dad, Fred Trump, and Vincent Kennedy McMahon, also known as Mr. McMahon on television. Mm-hmm. He was born August 24th, 1945.
Okay.
Now, Trump was born and raised in Queens.
Yep.
While Vince McMahon was born and raised in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
This was a big major sticking point for Vince. Vince actually didn't know his father.
All right.
His dad's name was Vincent J. McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince and Trump are actually both third generation.
Carney.
No, third generation self-made men.
You can't be a third generation self-made man.
I know.
By that's nepotism.
Yeah,
I
know. That's what I'm pointing.
You don't get to say that.
I know that's why you don't get to say that, but that's what I'm making the point for. So both of them grew up, while Donald grew up in the shadow of his father, Vince didn't know his dad until he was almost 18.
Got it.
There's this whole thing where he eventually meets his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them craved their father's attention, love, respect, but also their wealth and power.
Yeah. Okay.
And the second they got their hands on it, they then started to use that and say, I made this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in both men's cases, they did both change the empires that they inherited in very different ways. And we're going to get into that. So with Trump first, Trump grew up in Queens, and he, you know, coming from a very wealthy, very, very wealthy family at that time, who, and his family, by the way, they made their wealth through, they were accused of a lot of profiteering.
Yep.
Which is a word we don't say anymore.
We should bring it back.
We really should, because there was a time where you're like, hey, you shouldn't just make profits for everything. Like, we actually used to view that badly.
Yeah.
But his dad and his grandfather actually spent a lot of time building apartments for people who were on war bonds and for people like in the veterans of World War II.
Yep.
So they ran a lot of slums and things like that, especially in Queens. When Trump was growing up, he would have had a television, and he would have been watching what was on New York television. And what was on New York television that was the most popular was the local professional wrestling. And that local professional wrestling was owned by the McMahon family.
Oh, okay.
Capital Wrestling Corporation was founded by Vincent J. McMahon, and with in conjunction with Vincent Kennedy McMahon's grandfather, Jess McMahon Sr.
Jess McMahon.
Yes. Okay. So Jess McMahon was a combination of a boxing promoter, casino owner, kind of like all this other, but he's got into wrestling as well. And eventually Jess McMahon would leave the business to Vince Sr.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vince Sr. would change the name from Capital Wrestling Corporation publicly to the Worldwide Wrestling Federation in the 70s. Now, Trump would learn a lot from watching wrestling in New York.
Okay.
He would probably learn more from that than anything else.
Oh, no.
He would learn how strong men could appeal to crowds through either their muscly actions, their choreographed entrances, or their over-the-top promo speeches, most importantly.
Yeah.
But Trump would also pick up a thing that all McMahons were very big on doing in their wrestling shows, which is pitting racialized groups against each other by using stereotypes and personified champions.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So this is actually a very big thing on the McMahon side. Now, all wrestling kind of did this, but the McMahons were very big on doing this in New York, where you had neighborhoods that were broken up by race.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a Puerto Rican neighborhood, an Italian neighborhood, a black neighborhood, a more Protestant neighborhood. All these different groups would have their own champions.
Yeah.
So Bruno Sammartino was a famous WWF champion. He was Italian. And so he would fight, you know, he'd fight the crazy Russians, or he'd fight the Irish guy, or he'd fight all these different people. Yeah. Hulk Hogan, as we talked about our Hulk Hogan episode all those years ago.
He was the Protestant.
He was actually, Hulk Hogan is supposed to be Irish. Yeah, he was given the name Hogan.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, my God.
Hulk Hogan's supposed to be
God.
Irish.
Oh, my God. That is incredible. You know why? Because, okay, I'm not going into this episode completely blind. There are some things I know about wrestling, and there's some things I know about fucking Donald Trump. But one thing I know about wrestling is when they come up with a shtick and a costume,
yep,
that's, they always go so hard, and it's always so wrong.
Yeah.
And so when I pictured, how are they going to make the Irish immigrant wrestler, I'm like, well, they're going to make him a leprechaun. He's going to be called the Lucky Charms.
Well, they've had those.
But for it to be Hulk Hogan, yeah, is so much crazier.
Well, remember back when we did the Hulk Hogan, he went by like Terry Boulder at some point, mm-hmm, all these different things. Like, he slowly picked up the Hulk name. And it's actually Vince McMahon Sr., it's been said, who gave him Hogan as the last name.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just real quick update on Hulk Hogan. He's recently found Christ and was just on the 700 Club.
Shut the fuck
where he's
up.
Now selling Hulk Hogan branded t-shirts.
Oh my God.
With Jesus, and it says like John 3:16, but on the sleeve it says Hulk Hogan.
I need.
He also has a cross shirt that makes the crosses into an HH for Hulk Hogan.
You know, the HH means something else in a lot of other,
yes,
t-shirts.
Yes, I'm aware.
How come, hear me real quick,
yeah,
sidebar.
Yeah.
How come the pipeline to some type of religious grifter is so easily replicated? Why can't they come up with something new?
Because it's just an easy one
it
to do.
It just works.
It's just so easy. And everyone who does it, I feel like, feels like they're the first one to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, no one else has thought of doing this. And yeah, then when they go to the convention and they're all like, dude, come on. You're pulling the old Shucky Jive. You're like, what? Like, there's a...
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is a number three flam flu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you think you've created this whole new thing. So let's get back to Trump and McMahon.
Okay.
So like I said, both of these guys, they really wanted their dad's attention. Vince, because he didn't know his dad, but also Donald is the fourth. He's not the oldest kid. He's like the fourth kid that,
oh,
Fred,
really?
Trump
the
had.
Youngest?
I don't know if he's the youngest, but I,
oh,
know
he's
the fourth.
Middle, he got middle child.
So he
stuff.
Did have an older brother who was an alcoholic.
Yep.
Who drank himself to death. And Trump actually went out of his way to make sure that his older brother's kids were boxed out of Fred Trump's will.
Because their dad died?
Yes.
What? That's, how's that their fault?
Because Donald said so. There's so many fucked up things when you go into the life of Donald Trump before he really blows up in everyone's face in the way he did, especially in 2016. Mm-hmm. But it's important to note that during the 80s, as Donald Trump becomes more and more and more visible to people through New York press, through television, through radio, for all these different things, he's living off his dad's wealth.
When he's on Home Alone?
When he's
was
on
it,
Home Alone?
Was it Home Alone or Home Alone 2?
It's Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Lost, okay, in New York. His dad was still alive. So technically speaking, he was still working for his dad.
Yeah.
He eventually would take over what would become the Trump Organization, which is now in the middle of being shut down by New York State.
Yeah.
But what he did was starting in 1968, Donald Trump started working for his dad's businesses, the Ultimate Nepo Baby,
yeah,
started
classic.
Nepo Babying. And so he started working for him. Over time, he would borrow at least $413 million from his father's business empire.
Mm-hmm.
And he would use that to buy real estate, to buy office buildings, and he would start to fund real estate developments, private golf clubs, and multiple casinos,
yeah,
down, mm-hmm, in Atlantic City, yeah, in particular. At that same time, in the 80s, Vince McMahon had now linked up with his dad. He had married his wife. He had tried a few different ways.
Wait, he married his dad's wife?
No, he married his own wife,
okay,
Linda McMahon. They had their first kid, Shane, and then later Stephanie. And during that time, Vince kept going to his dad and saying, I want to be involved in wrestling. I want to be involved in wrestling. Like, I want to take over the business. And so finally, Vince Sr. offered Vince McMahon Jr. a deal. He said, if you can pay $1 million, I think it was like over a year,
mm-hmm,
you have to pay this and you can't miss a payment. If you miss a payment, I get to keep all the money you've given me.
Oh my God.
So
okay,
he was like, forced him to basically go into like hyper debt, all this stuff. But Vince Jr. does it. And he's able to not only pay off his dad, he buys out the Capital Wrestling Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
He changes the name of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation to just the World Wrestling Federation because he knew it had too many W's.
Too many W's.
WWWF sounds crazy. He's like, WWF, this sounds great. And then he starts to make moves against basically everyone his dad was friends with in the business.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question. That payment structure is insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's an insane payment structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like gambling because it's like there's this shot that if you miss one, you're going to lose it all.
Yeah.
Did he pay his dad in envelopes in cash each month?
There's like a few different ways because it's been put, but it feels very much like that because there's also like the thing you have to remember.
That's what that guy said. The guy you did, the financial guru guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's his whole thing. Because people started emailing me about it.
Oh, okay.
Like, he would tell people that they had to put all of their money in envelopes. And so, like, there'd be, like, their grocery money. You have, like, $40 for groceries. And they put it in an envelope, seal it, and it's like, this is groceries, and this is what you take to the grocery
store. Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey.
And so a lot of people had emailed us after that episode and were explaining to me that they grew up and their mom would go to the grocery store and she had a white envelope for groceries, a white envelope for like the utility bills, and you go pay PGW in person.
Gotcha. That's a way of budgeting. That's a physical way of budgeting,
which does work for some people. I started picturing him showing up to his dad.
No, this is
with
more
this little envelope.
No. This is more mafia.
Yeah.
Okay. This is more like because one of the other things that he had to do is Vince Jr., Mr. McMahon, had to keep on Vince Sr.'s closest cronies in the organization. So there are certain guys who were then had a job for life and officially were going to be on the payroll forever who were going to just like always be there.
Yeah.
And they were all they didn't much have much power anymore because Vince Jr., you know, really little Vinny really ran everything.
Yeah.
But there were guys that were still involved. But to get Vince Sr. out and to give him the crown, he had to make these payments every single month.
That's so funny.
And it's like a crazy payment structure and everything. Now, part of this is it's twofold. One, Vince Sr. did not want to give up the business.
Yeah.
Number two, he didn't want his son in it. He was like, I don't want this for you. This is like I did this. So you could go have a good life. Like, you should go do something different.
Because you just said he wasn't in his life.
He wasn't in his life, but that from all reports, that actually kind of weirdly isn't his fault. When his dad found out about him, his dad didn't know he existed.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a weird back and forth. And there's Behind the Bastards, there's a 6-part episode on Vince McMahon that goes into so much fucking detail. And we're not here for that.
Okay.
We're
talking about parallels.
Yes.
Parallelograms.
And that's the parallel, though, is you have two guys who are rich. They're in rich families who have to do stuff to be able to be like prove themselves before they can take over the entire empire.
Yeah.
And so in Vince's case, it's much more cutthroat and actually makes him a good businessman. In Donald's case, it's handed to him constantly. And in fact, they've done studies over the years. If Donald Trump had just taken all of the money he was given and just put it into a fucking mutual fund, he would have more money than he ever has now because of how many failures he's had. Donald Trump is like a constant, consistent failure.
Oh, my God.
So it was in 1988 that these two men finally meet.
Okay. All right.
All right. So until 1988, like, they like knew of each other, but like until they really have a definite connection.
I'm picturing the building in Die Hard with like
Yakatomi Plaza.
The glamorous room in Yakatomi. Like, that's how I picture them meeting.
Yes. Yeah,
in that room.
It's not quite like that. So in 1987, WrestleMania 3 happens.
Okay.
Now, WrestleMania 3 is very important in the history of wrestling. It's Hulk Hogan versus Andre. You know, it's in the, I think it was the Silver Dome. You know, this big deal. It's a massive audience. It was like the height of wrestling in the
80s. Okay.
Is this moment. WrestleMania 4 is in Atlantic City.
Okay.
And it's at the Atlantic City Convention Hall.
Yeah.
But before it happens, Vince meets Donald and they come together and cut a deal to basically have the Trump Plaza is going to be the sponsor of WrestleMania 4.
Sure.
So even though it's not being held at Trump Plaza,
you
wouldn't know that if you watch WrestleMania 4. Even though it's in the convention hall, it's next door.
Yeah.
This is actually a public building.
Yeah. It still exists. At the end of the train.
Yeah. It still exists. It's still there.
Oh, not Trump Plaza.
Not Trump Plaza. Trump Plaza's gone. But I'm saying the convention center itself, it's a pretty big venue. It holds like almost 20,000 people.
Yeah.
That's still there.
Yeah.
But that is just happened to be next door to where Trump Plaza was. So they put all the signage up as WrestleMania 4 from Trump Plaza. because all of the media events that happened around it. So when they'd come in, they bring the wrestlers, then we do a media scrum, maybe a meet and greet. You set up a store to sell t-shirts
what
and merch.
What does the word scrum mean?
Scrum is when you have just like, especially like after a football game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have all the media sits there in chairs.
Yeah.
And then a guy comes out and like sits down.
Yeah.
And then like, hey, Chip, how come you guys didn't win? Oh, we got to play harder.
Yeah, okay, that's
scrum.
Called a scrum.
Yeah,
okay.
That's called a scrum. Or you also have them beforehand, too, of just like, hey, what do you guys expect to happen at this fight? Oh, I think I'm going to go out there. I think I'm going to beat them up. Okay, cool. And that's kind of what they would do. So they would shoot. All the local media would come out, international media, all this different stuff. Also, it was a way to push people. WrestleMania used to do these massive packages. I don't know if they still do, just because of how big it's gotten now. But back then, you had an all-in-one inclusive trip.
Okay.
So all you had to do was get to Atlantic City, and then you could pay WWF or Trump Plaza, and then you would get your WrestleMania ticket, you would get to go to the access to go see all the backstage stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you would get dinners and transportation, and you get a hotel room. All of it would tie together and be like, oh, that's $500. Now today, like a WrestleMania ticket's like $1,000.
Yeah.
For like a good seat. Anyway, doesn't matter. WrestleMania 4, it happened between the two of them because Trump had started to expand his casino holdings and he started to get really into boxing promotion.
Yeah.
So he was trying to do that internationally. He was trying to really connect his name. Donald really just wanted the name Trump out there
mm-hmm.
because he was really, really big and just being like, I'll just call it Trump. The word Trump should mean wealth and opulence and all these different things.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
So WrestleMania 4 happens. Like I said, it was held at the convention hall and the media events end up eventually becoming WrestleMania, what's known today as WrestleMania Access.
Okay.
So this was like the first time they tried that. It is famously known as like not being a great WrestleMania.
Okay.
It did okay. It did fine. Donald was featured repeatedly through it.
Oh.
Actually, one thing I remember really hating was right after Donald Trump was elected back in 2016, I remember going to our basement and I was like, I'm just going to put on a fucking WrestleMania and just not think about it.
Oh,
and
no.
I happened to just put on WrestleMania 4 because I'd seen WrestleMania 3 so many times. I just wasn't thinking about it. And it was just, he's everywhere. And it's just like them showing him off and like, oh, here he is with his girlfriend. And like, here he is. Oh, Donald, thank you so much. Oh, thank you. I'm just so rich. It's like that very 80s, you know, opulence and wealth, shoving it down your throat type of thing. So the one thing they did is actually WrestleMania 5 was also held at the Atlantic City Convention Center. It's the only time it's ever happened. They went back to back at the Atlantic City Convention Center.
Why? I've been there. It's not the best convention center I've ever been to.
You know, there's really, I've heard a few different things as the reason why, but it's just, this is the only one. This was the Mega Powers Explode where Hulk and Randy Savage have this whole storyline thing.
Probably somebody owed somebody some money.
I think I'm
just playing it in mafia mode.
I feel like that is part of it.
There's probably some like backhand deal.
Yeah.
Wait, backdoor deal?
Back yeah,
room
you're right.
deal.
Back
that's
room
it
deal.
That's backdoor deal. Different. I have a question.
I want to be on backdoor deal.
You can tell me if we're going to get there.
Yeah.
I understand so far in the parallels that they're both Nepo babies that long for the approval of their father.
Yeah.
That are both behaving in a manner, in a business manner in which they run it like a bit of a mafia.
Yep. And they're both prototypical 80s men.
Yeah, they're super 80s.
They're super 80s men.
How come they both wanted to be, like, they both really want to be famous.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
It's also not a combination of just fame. It's also a combination of they want to be seen as strong. And
okay.
big. And part of that is growing up watching wrestling.
Yeah.
And taking away a different message because the wrestling from those ages was a lot more macho.
Yeah.
In like a lot of really crazy ways. In like that toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't like nuance, like I said.
Yeah.
Even though like wrestling doesn't have a ton of nuance, there's still like a little bit of nuance every now and then. You're like, oh, there's a little, there's my nuance. All right. I'll see you in 3 more weeks. You know, like that's how you feel when I watch wrestling. But the other part of it is neither of them got respect from the people around them. So
yeah.
Vince was a bastard who grew up in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
like a literal bastard.
Yeah.
Like he didn't know who his real dad was. He had a really hard life down there. He was considered a redneck. He was spit on by like a lot of people. And like he was always felt like he was an outsider who deserved respect.
Okay.
That's Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Trump was considered new money in New York. So his dad is a scumbag.
Slumlord. It's a slumlord.
Yeah, his dad's a scumbag slumlord. And so when Trump goes to, like, you know, of Drexel or to
Valley Forge, he went to Penn.
Yeah, went to Penn.
He didn't finish.
Yeah. But when he goes to these places with the other upper crust, with other people who have the same amount of money as his dad, everyone's like, you suck.
Yeah.
Like, you're not rich like us. You're a different type of rich, and that doesn't deserve respect. So Trump and Vince, when they get money, they both learn how to show money off to poor people so poor people think they're cool.
Got it. Okay.
Does that start to make sense? Because, like, they're both a poor man's version of a rich person.
Yeah, exactly. It's shiny. It's gold toilets. It's blonde women.
Yep.
That are buried in golf courses.
Yeah.
You know.
No, there's a lot of that. I mean, there's so much of that there where it's wanting dad's respect, but it's also wanting respect from an audience of people that you hate. Like, yeah. A lot of it is just like they both would get so enraged when they would see, you know, a Jamie Dimon or a Goldman Sachs person, or just like, you know, the average person who's going to Neiman Marcus in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Like your average New York socialite, like these guys want to fucking run him over with a car because they weren't given that, like, oh, you're cool when they were 19.
Yeah. Okay. We're just holding a lot of grudges and taking it out on everybody else.
Yes. In fact, okay. You're going to take it out on millions of people.
Oh, just think. If we would have invested all of dad's money in the therapy, where we'd be. How about that?
You know what? Maybe they should have taken up painting. Anyway, in 1989, right? That's when WrestleMania 5 happens. It goes fine. Again, it's fine. It's all right. And then that's kind of it for these two. Over the next couple of years. Like, there's times where, like, Trump would pop up on, like, programming or a pay-per-view as, like, a celebrity in the crowd.
Yeah.
And there's things like that. But they really don't, like, touch.
They're not best friends.
They're friendly.
No, but they're not best friends.
Yeah. I mean, they're both such weirdos that neither of them really have best friends. And so that's why, like, by default, they're best friends.
I just picture, you know, like, there's this one, I guess maybe it was TikTok or one of the reels, where it's like the dogs barking at each other through a gate, and then somebody opens the gate and they stop barking at each other.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I picture their friendship now.
No, it's not like so much like that. It's really, when you get a guy like Vince and you get a guy like Donald, a lot of their friends are actually people that they've hired.
Paid lackeys.
Yeah, really. And like, they're stooges. And so with the fact that there's two guys who have a similar upbringing and they have similar thoughts on things, like, yeah, there isn't a lot of public information about them, like, hanging out and being, like, close buds. But, like, they're friendly. They're pretty close.
Okay.
Comparatively to most people. You and I, if we had this type of relationship, we wouldn't consider this friendship.
No.
But for them,
okay.
Like, true sociopaths, this, like, is as close to a friendship, like, as you're going, like, to get.
This is my best friend. I talked to him twice this year.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, they would call each other. They would care. They did
business deals. That's friendship, right?
They'd do business deals. They'd send each other, you know, send each other a birthday present. You know, well, their secretaries would send each other birthday. That type of deal.
Or a VCR.
So after these two events, though, both Vince and Donald.
That was a great Scrooge joke.
Oh, yeah. The VCR. Sorry.
I'm trying to stay in the 80s right now.
I forgot. I apologize that I missed the Scrooge joke.
Thanks.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
But Bill Murray, that whole general thing,
that's
that whole
what
vibe.
He is. That's who he is.
Yeah, that's the whole vibe. So the big turn here.
Okay.
Is it's the late 80s. We're going into the 90s, and both men's lives go to shit at the same time.
Man, imagine going into the 90s and not having a great time.
Yeah, so...
Every commercial was like, it's the 90s.
It's the 90s.
We're having the best time.
The Cold War is over. We're not afraid of dying by a nuke.
We've got cell phones in our car, sort of, kind
of. Oh, wait, I have a button for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, they both fall on hard times. Okay. For Vince, it's the steroid scandal.
Did he do steroids?
No, so the steroid scandal is this big deal where steroids were legal.
Yeah.
At one point in the United States.
Sure.
And then they became slowly illegal.
Because everybody was too good looking.
Yeah, kind of. Mainly because people's hearts were exploding.
Boo.
And
that's beta behavior.
There were
you gotta have an alpha heart.
There were accusations by the federal government.
I've been watching a little Liver King.
You gotta have an alpha heart.
You gotta have an alpha heart.
There were accusations by the federal government tied to a specific doctor. And that doctor was writing just massive amounts of prescriptions for anabolic steroids.
Okay.
That he was handing out, like, to all these different people. And the WWF at the time and Vince directly were accused by the FBI, and there was a sting operation, all this different stuff. Hulk Hogan actually ended up taking the stand against Vince McMahon, and actually there is a very, I think we talked about this in the episode, there's a very, very funny courtroom sketch of Hulk Hogan, like, on stand.
Yeah.
So there's all this different stuff. Vince wears a neck brace to court every single day, pretends his neck is broken. Stephanie.
Well, no, because the steroids made his neck so thick.
Stephanie McMahon, later after 9/11, would compare the steroid trial to 9/11 as a hardship that her family had to go through.
Stephanie McMahon, you know what a hardship I had to go through? I'm going to bring up your goddamn hair extensions again.
Here we go.
That's a hardship I had to go through. That and your love of halter tops from the 90s.
So
she's still rocking halter tops from the 90s.
So Vince goes through the steroid trial. He also deals with the rise of WCW. He has a direct competitor who actually has money in Ted Turner. There's a lot that happens there. On Trump's side, he goes through some public divorces, and he also goes through some very public bankruptcy. And it's kind of just an embarrassing time for both of them. This would slowly, over time, though, they would both bounce back.
And I thought you were going to say bond and become better best friends.
Again, we don't have information on
that. No, I'm just making up, what's the stories that you make up about people and put on the internet?
Lies?
No.
Fan fiction?
Fan fiction. I'm writing a fan fiction now.
You're writing a fan fiction in your head?
Yeah, they're best friends. Like they're growing friendship.
Yeah.
They're going through hard times.
Yeah.
And they're just like, kicking cans down the road. Like, man, my bankruptcy is so stressful. And my wife that doesn't like me is leaving.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo. I'll call my good friend Vince.
Yep. It's actually, I don't want to say what I would think they would actually be doing at that time. Nope. I'd be smashing that allegedly button, and there's a lot of court documents around it.
Yeah.
So both of them start to build back. And they both start to have their comeback into the early 2000s, where they'll meet again. But we're going to take a break right here.
No.
Yeah, we're going to take just a quick break.
But I want to hear about their golden parachutes provided by their family and just the inherent ability that if you have money and even if you lose it, you'll still be able to get it back.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, we're back.
And it's the 90s.
It's actually the 2000s now.
Ah.
So by 2000, the early 2000s, Vince McMahon, and now what's been called the WWE, because he lost a lawsuit against the Panda.
Yep.
So they had to change the name from WWF to WWE because the World Wildlife Fund in England claimed that they owned the actual initials WWF. He didn't lose that fight in America.
Listen, I love that for them.
But yeah, he didn't want to lose British market share and have to call it something else. So they ended up changing the name to WWE, which stands for World Wrestling Entertainment. Vince, at this point, is the master of the wrestling world. WCW is going on under. Any competitors that pop up, he's able to quickly stomps them out, buys out their talent. He's able to keep the independent circuit very low. Donald Trump at the same time has also begun to come back, mainly through a lot of appearances on Howard Stern, restructuring his bankruptcy, massive amounts of fraud.
He also, I was like, whoa,
Hit that allegedly button, but what's he going to do, sue me? He doesn't pay his lawyers. But also through licensing agreements was a big thing where he just realized, oh, I can just put the Trump name on everything because he's built up this idea.
Water.
A university.
A little alleged university.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
No, alleged. It's alleged because it was an university, yeah. Not that it wasn't a scam university.
But a big part of it also was his reality show, The Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice.
Right. I always forget about that.
Yep.
And then it reminds me that Omarosa exists and I get mad again.
Yeah. So through The Apprentice, he also really built up. He also, you know, he tried to trademark and coined his catchphrase of "you're fired" because when you would get removed from the show. But that was also already Vince McMahon's catchphrase.
Because, are you telling me they had the same catchphrase?
Yes.
The best friends didn't realize they were using the same catchphrase?
No, I think they knew and just didn't care. Because the thing is, when Vince does it, Vince would get all, he'd get really like in his mouth about it, right? Yeah. So he'd get it, be like, you know what? You're fired.
Okay. He sounded like Batman.
Yeah, but versus Donald Trump is like, you're fired.
Yeah.
It's like the same, but
I would rather
wildly
get
different.
Fired by the first person. Yeah. Actually, there's I've been fired a few times in my life. And it usually is the first person.
Usually is the first one because you deserve it.
No, absolutely not.
You deserve it.
Absolutely not.
But anyway, Vince and Trump, you know, they're both at the top of the world.
I can't believe both have the same catchphrase.
Yeah, it's the same catchphrase.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, I mean, Vince has other catchphrases on top of that, but like he's pretty famous for screaming "you're fired"
in people's
faces. I'm
calling this fanfic "you're fired."
Okay, got it. How about "they're fired"?
Ooh.
So in early 2007, Trump makes an appearance again on WWE television for the first time since WrestleMania 5.
Okay.
In storyline.
Yeah.
He's, again, been in the audience and stuff like that. Like, Donald Trump's here, hello, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Trump appears on Monday Night Raw in 2007. That's WWE's flagship show on the USA Network. He shows up in character as a billionaire. This was a cross-promotional event for him to really push The Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice, which is on NBC. The USA Network is also owned by NBC's parent company.
Okay.
So that's all one company. So this is all one. WWE is a separate company, but they have a licensing agreement with USA Network.
Yeah.
USA Network is also owned by NBC. Today, that's Comcast.
Yeah.
But NBC Universal, all that different stuff. So Trump comes on. He enters armed in arm with women on both arms.
Yep.
Money, 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 money plays as he comes walking down the
ramp. Wait, isn't that Shane McMahon's music?
No, you're thinking of a different Money, Money song.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there's a lot of money.
Wait, so Trump's song, Money, 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 and Shane McMahon also has a song called Money, Money, Money. So again, we're just copy-pasting here.
Yeah, no, listen, it's all just that 80s, like, money, money, money.
It's the 2000s.
Yeah, I know, but again, they're sticking with the 80s rich
guy. What do they call, fishnet crop tops, okay? It's the 2000s.
So,
glitter eyeliner.
Yeah, so the funny part is, Trump shows up, and in storyline, he's supposed to be the good guy, because Vince is the bad guy.
All right. Enemies to lovers.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, the funny part is the crowd didn't know this because the crowd is booing the shit out of Trump.
Yeah, perfect.
They're booing him so much. Yeah. And Vince is saying like bad guy stuff at Trump and the crowd loves it.
The crowd's like, that's right. Yeah, Vince. Fuck that dude.
Yeah, fuck that dude. He doesn't pay guy. He doesn't pay union workers.
He
fuck
hasn't
that
paid
guy.
A contractor in a decade.
Yeah, forever. And so during this, Trump ends up actually dumping money on the crowd from the rafters.
Okay.
Like legit, like, and it's part of WWE, but they're throwing actual money into the crowd.
Like me.
Yeah, like confetti is like, money is raining to the crowd and like they're still booing. Yeah. But they still don't care. But this was the beginning and the setup for WrestleMania 23.
Okay.
And over the next couple weeks, Trump gets the crowd a little bit more on his side and Vince makes them hate him a little bit more because Vince is very good at getting people to hate him.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's a monster.
Yeah, he's a bad person.
He's probably one of the worst people to ever live.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like Donald is learning. This is where Donald Trump learns how to work crowds.
Great. Okay, good. I'm really excited to find out in this moment that everything he learned about crowd work was from wrestling.
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Because Vince teaches him.
Oh, God.
How to be.
Okay, back to my fanfic.
Yeah.
It's like the movie.
That's good shit, pal.
No, it's like the movie Ghost.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Gently teaching him how to do crowd work.
Oh, they're making the
just
pot.
Just a light whisper.
Oh, no.
Right,
I hate you so much.
Yeah.
I hate you so much. So Vince teaches Trump like how to work the crowd, like how to deal with not like how to deal with hecklers, but like how to feel the beats. Because Vince is very good in front of crowds. Yeah. I mean, you've seen it. Anyone who's ever watched wrestling knows that Vince McMahon has a way to capture a crowd's audience. And he also understands the ebb and flow and beat of a mob.
Yeah.
Like if there's no, there's very few people on earth who are as good at knowing when to time something as Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
So this training that he goes through and the selling of Trump as a good guy billionaire and Vince as the carny rich boss who screws over his employees becomes another touchstone in the minds of the people that Trump is not only a good billionaire, but he actually cares about the average person.
What has he ever done?
He did this.
Even in kayfabe.
He did this. What he did is he set up the Battle of the Billionaires.
Okay.
All right. That's a match that became like a main event level match.
Isn't that what Elon tried to do with Zuck on Twitter?
Yeah, it was like another one, but that was they were going to actually physically fight. In this case, the billionaires use proxies.
Oh, okay.
So,
Okay.
Yeah, they have their own fighter.
They have a person that they're paying to fight for them.
Yes.
And they're betting on it.
Yes.
I don't like where that's going.
So, Vince McMahon chooses Umaga.
Okay.
Umaga is a Samoan wrestler mm-hmm. with a face tattoo.
Yep.
And Trump picks Bobby Lashley.
Wait, I know Bobby Lashley.
Yes, you know who Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley is a former military man who is a very large black man.
Yeah, and this is what I was afraid where we were going on this one.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley always looks like a Ninja Turtle without a shell to me. Because he's so muscly in his shoulders that it looks like one of my little action figures.
He also doesn't
figures.
Have eyebrows.
Yeah, it like looks like one of my little action figures when I was little. Just like all shoulders.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
So you have these two rich billionaires pitting two minorities against each other for their entertainment.
Yep.
What was on the line was each billionaire's hair.
Okay.
Whoever loses the match will have their head shaved because this is a hair match.
This is such billionaire behavior.
Yep.
Okay, the good billionaire, not Carnegie building libraries and museums.
Nope.
Not good. Not
no, no,
not
no.
Good.
And the only way to see this is to pay for it.
Got it. Okay.
To make them even richer.
Mm-hmm.
The special guest referee and enforcer.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Perfect.
Yeah. Now this is a WrestleMania, so of course the guest has to win, and that's pretty much the story of almost every WrestleMania or major WWE pay-per-view event where you have a special guest. I mean, shit, Snooki won at a WrestleMania.
Well. I've seen Snooki take a punch to the face, and I believe that she could handle herself.
Snooki actually had a very decent WrestleMania match, as did Bad Bunny and, unfortunately, Logan Paul. So, with that, Lashley wins.
Mm-hmm.
Trump and Lashley and Stone Cold Steve Austin shave Vince McMahon's head in front of a massive audience while people cheer.
Okay.
Austin then shares a beer with Donald Trump, and then he gives Donald Trump the worst Stone Cold Stunner ever seen on television.
Because he's afraid of hurting him?
Yeah, it's also just like Donald doesn't quite know what he's doing. Like, the clips of Trump are just crazy if you ever go back and watch his match. Because, like, they just run over the camera. He's just going like, yeah! Like, he doesn't quite know how to be a person enjoying something.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to do that on the side of the ring. And, like, you'll just hear him like, come on, Bobby, do it, Bobby. Like, that's what you just hear.
Oh.
And then, so, like, Stone Cold gives him a stunner, and the unathletic Trump just kind of crumples to the ground. Then Stone Cold pours beer over him and, like, gives him the finger. And that's kind of it. In response, the storyline fallout of this is once Vince has his head shaved, he kind of goes insane, wears a do-rag, wins the ECW title, and then calls John Cena the N-word on camera.
Oh, man. You couldn't have. If you would have asked me 3 minutes ago, where did I think the head shave would go? I didn't. You know what? There's no way I would have got there.
Yeah, it's a character that everyone knows as do-rag Vince because he wears an actual do-rag and the... goes literally insane in character.
No.
So this kind of peaks.
Wait, what kind of John Cena are we talking about?
This was early John Cena where they were just.
Was he the professor of Thugonomics?
This is as Professor of Thugonomics is ending. So he's no longer a white rapper as much. Mm. And he is now starting to be more John Cena for the children.
Oh, for the kids.
There's also.
I can't see him, John Cena.
It's also that weird period where John Cena's pretending he was in the Marines because he did a movie called The Marine.
Stolen Valor Cena.
Yes.
Got it.
So, yeah. So, he's wearing, like, camo to the ring. And, yeah, it's a really fucking weird moment.
Well, it was the 2000s, so camo was big.
Yeah.
Because
and this is before
industrial complex.
And this is before John Cena told the world that Osama bin Laden had been killed.
Wait, what?
There's a weird moment where The Rock knew Osama bin Laden died before the rest of the world, and then John Cena announced it at the end of a WWE pay-per-view. I don't have time.
Okay.
So, June 11th, 2007.
Where were you?
Where was I on June 11th, 2007?
I'm trying to think of where I was.
I think I was just hammered. I was just drunk.
2007?
Where
in
were you?
June? Oh, man. 2007, yeah. That was a wild year. I don't know.
I was a pretty good year. I'm trying to think back at that point. No, I know where I was. I was working a security guard job. I was working third shift security guard.
I think I was probably at the bowling alley.
Yeah. So on in storyline, after the whole do-rag Vince thing.
Yeah.
He loses the ECW title to Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
And he then proceeds to go more insane. And then Vince decides that he no longer wants to be an on-camera character.
Take a break.
There's Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the human being and the monster.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's the character of Mr. McMahon.
Yeah.
Mr. McMahon is the one, you're fired, I'll kill you, Austin. That's Mr. McMahon.
Okay.
He wanted to write that character off. He was tired of being on TV. He wanted to separate everything. At this point, WWE is a publicly traded company. He wants more respect. He's tried doing the XFL and other things. And he's had other businesses he's tried to get moving. He decides the only way to do this is to write a storyline called Who Killed Mr. McMahon?
Okay. Oh, so he's kill himself off.
He kills himself off. So in the June 11th, 2007 episode of Monday Night Raw, mm-hmm. Vince McMahon, at the very end in a pre-taped segment, walks out to a limousine. And he says something and he closes the door. As he closes the door, the entire limousine explodes.
Oh.
And that's the end of the episode. Now, this needs to be noted because in a later interview, Paul Levesque, who's also known as Triple H.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Who is Vince McMahon's actual son-in-law.
Yeah.
Was on Opie and Anthony in 2008. And he stated that when the death of Vince McMahon moment happened, it was reported as legitimate across so much of the news space.
Okay.
And like people like who don't really like hear things, just hear like, oh yeah, Vince McMahon died. And it's like, yeah, well, on Monday Night Raw. And you go, okay, so it's a story. But because again, he's Vince McMahon versus Mr. McMahon, all these different things, it got around that Vince had died, that Donald Trump actually called Titan Towers. He called WWE headquarters and was like, and said, quote, did something happen to Vince?
His best friend.
Yeah. He was checking in. He was like, oh, something happened to Vince?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, this storyline was thrown out like within a month.
Well,
they got rid of it. Now, it was canceled due to the real-life murder-suicide that was committed by Chris Benoit and his family.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Chris Benoit did it, what we now call family destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince came out of kayfabe. He stopped pretending he was dead and appeared in front of everyone, and they never mentioned it again.
Yeah.
They never mentioned that Vince is supposed to be dead this entire time.
Yeah.
They're going to wish they did. In 2009, out of nowhere, an announcement was made on an episode of Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
The Titantron, which is the giant screen, changed, and Donald Trump appeared on television, on the screen, and he stated, quote, I, Donald Trump, am now the new sole owner of Monday Night Raw. I'm going to do stuff that's never been done before, that's never been seen before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, what's
so he writes that on like True Social like every day.
Yeah. It's honestly like the more you read it, it sounds just like all of his usual shit. But it's him just saying it's going to be great. It's going to be big.
The best they've ever seen.
Yeah. And he like talks shit on Vince. Yeah. It's like Vince is standing in the ring like as this happens.
Yeah.
But the thing is the USA Network, Vince McMahon, WWE, all of them, they take this and they decide to keep really pushing the kayfabe of it. They want to push the hyper reality of it.
Okay.
So they release a real press release that states that Donald Trump is now the sole owner of Monday Night Raw.
Mm.
That tanks their stock. WWE stock takes a fucking sharp dive because investors are like, you gave it to Donald Bankruptcy Trump?
Yeah.
Are you fucking insane?
Oh, my God.
They dropped 6% overnight.
They're like looking at that press release and looking at the press release that Trump released about those boys in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, about the Central Park Five.
Yeah, the press releases, you know.
Yeah, so they're looking at this. And so WWE had to quickly apologize a letter to all of their investors.
Mm-hmm.
And to the business media in general and say, listen, this was a big mistake. And the next week, Donald showed back up on Raw.
Okay.
And then immediately sold the company back to Vince, and then they never mentioned it again.
Perfect.
Because again, this is twice now. We're like, we did a thing. It's like stock dumps.
Nope.
So Scott Fried is a longtime wrestling journalist. He said that investors were skeptical of Trump's ownership because of his bravado and tendency to exaggerate, and also that they were worried that they would lose their long-term dividends that the company would pay out regularly. Because one thing Vince was big on with WWE stock is that you had to pay out this 12-cent dividend every quarter.
Yeah.
We wanted to show this is a good stock, that we are they're stable. And also at that time, they're like, they've looked at 30 years. This company has been run by a McMahon for 30 straight years. And suddenly overnight, it's Trump. Like, that scared the shit out of people.
Yeah.
Now, on the McMahon side, in 2010 and 2012, Vince's wife Linda ran for the United States Senate in Connecticut. As a Republican candidate,
mm-hmm.
she got crushed both times. What was crazy about this? I remember this happening. I remember like watching and seeing some of the ads that came out of it. All they did was just run WWE programming, because Vince has. If you go back and you watch WWE programming, knowing what we know now about Vince, like almost all of his fetishes are being put on display for everyone.
I'm sorry, wait, what?
Including his fetish of publicly humiliating his wife by showing the world the women he's sleeping with in front of her.
Okay. I didn't know you were going to go. Okay.
Yep. And in one segment, there was a famous scene where Linda McMahon is pretending to be in 2000. They had a thing called the Battle of the McMahons, mm-hmm. McMahon in every corner for WrestleMania 2000. Vince had Linda in kayfabe. Again, she's pretending to be in a coma, sitting up in a chair in the corner of the ring, while Vince McMahon has a female wrestler named Trish Stratus,
mm-hmm.
That he has been openly having an affair with in storyline.
Okay.
She's crawling around the ring, barking like a dog.
Okay.
Linda then gets up and kicks Vince McMahon directly in the testicles.
Well, okay.
Her kicking Vince in the testicles is used in repeated attack ads against her, and she loses both races in Connecticut pretty handily. Connecticut also is very much a blue state since she was running as a Republican, but it was more of a purple state then.
Okay, hold on. I feel like if I saw an ad, and in the ad, a woman was kicking Vince McMahon in the balls, I'd be like, I'd vote for her.
It's also one of those things where they also played up all the other horrific things that WWE had shown over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically aiming
then
at
they,
the Attitude Era.
Then they
showed
Trish Stratus walking around like a dog.
Yeah, and they were like,
well.
Yeah. And the bra and panties matches and a bunch of other different stuff that Vince had done over the years. It's also should be noted that around 2010, 2012 is around the time when Vince started to pivot things into the PG era because of this.
Yeah.
So WWE specifically was like, you can't curse anymore. You can't do the suck it's as much.
Yeah.
They used to yell suck it all the time. There's a bunch of different things that they were like, we gotta tone these things back. And part of that was to make
Trying to make more money.
Yes, to make the company more palatable so they could get better rights deals.
Yep.
Also so they could get with better companies for toys.
Yep.
But also he saw how much this hurt Linda and her chances. What are you pointing to?
The toys.
Oh yeah, the toys I have up there. So in 2013, Donald Trump was officially inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame Celebrity Wing.
Okay. They have a celebrity wing?
Yes.
Was there any celebrities in there before he got there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, there's, I think Sylvester Stallone's been in there.
Oh, gross.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's been in there.
Because
they've done stuff, directly. Kid Rock's in there.
Okay, this is... I was like, well, it's not...
it is
that bad.
It's now they don't really do the celebrities as much. Part of it's because of Donald Trump. Because he's still officially a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Okay,
so they induct him in the celebrity corps.
Yeah, and so I'm going to read you... This is the final paragraph on WWE.com's Hall of Fame entry for Donald Trump.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
After trading in his favorite television catchphrase, "You're fired," for a national promise to make America great again, Donald Trump won his first presidential campaign against key contender Hillary Clinton and officially took the oath of office on January 20th, 2017, to become the 45th president of the United States. The first time in history a WWE Hall of Famer would ever hold the distinguished title U.S. Commander-in-Chief.
Oh, God.
Do you like the implication? The first time.
Yeah, it's going to happen again. That's cool.
Yep.
Oh, God.
So that's 2013. He joins the Hall of Fame. 2014, by the way, Linda impressed so many people with her runs for Senate twice that she became a Republican mega donor.
Yep.
And she gets really tied into the Republican infrastructure.
I'm sorry, wait. She impressed people with her run, or she's a mega donor and can throw money at stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a little bit of both. Well, she impressed people that she is a business person.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, well, you can do business, but also you're rich.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and you don't mind like losing terribly twice in a row in the U.S. Senate.
They're like, hey, do you mind being completely eviscerated and humiliated on TV? No? Well, have I got just the campaign for you.
Mm. And that's why Linda donated $6 million to Super PAC supporting Trump's 2016 campaign.
Fuck, $6 million?
Yep. For her $6 million, she was appointed a cabinet-level position in the Donald Trump administration.
Yo, rich people are so wild because, like, when we go to get jobs, we're like, I got to get a job so you pay me. But yeah. Rich people are like, no, I'll pay you to do this job.
Exactly. So she, her cabinet level position was she was appointed to lead the Small Business Administration.
Sure, because she knows a lot about small businesses.
She actually does. And what's actually strange is Linda McMahon is probably one of the few members of the Trump administration where people have said, like, she actually did a good job.
Really?
Yeah, because she knows how to run a business.
Okay.
I mean, she... Listen, Linda has been a major part of WWE her entire life.
Yeah.
She, with her husband, who's voraciously cheating on her publicly as much as physically possible, they lived through so many scandals, so many different things, and were able to keep constantly righting the ship. And also, they've never missed payroll. That's the most important thing.
There it is.
Now, did they underpay people? Did they screw people over? Did their actions directly lead to wrestler deaths? Yes, 100%. There's no doubt about that. Did they cover up a massive scandal having to deal with young boys being assaulted by WWE officials? Yes, they did that.
Oh my God.
Did they also cover up other horrible things that happened? Yes, 100%. But again, they were always able to show a profit. So she knows how to run a business. Okay, she's a businesswoman.
I don't think this, when they talk about the girl bosses, I don't think this is what they're talking about.
Oh, no, she's a gatekeep girl boss gaslighter all fucking day, okay? That's 100%
That's
Linda McMahon.
Absolutely, order those going.
Okay? Allegedly. But Linda has enough money for lawyers. I don't want to fuck with her. But with, in this case, she, from 2017 to 2019, she was in charge of the SBA. So she did well there.
Okay.
All right. To support small businesses. Now, small businesses do not just mean one or two person businesses. I think in the United States, that beats up to like 50 employees or something like that.
50 and below, I believe.
Yeah, 50, yeah, it's something like that. It's a number that like most of us actually wouldn't think of as that small. But then when you remember that we have mega corporations, you're like, I guess it is. So she served there to 2019 when she stepped down and Linda became the chairwoman of the American First Action Super PAC for Trump's 2020 reelection campaign.
Okay.
All right. As of 2021, Linda was the chairwoman of the board of the America First Policy Institute, which says its goal is to, quote, conduct research and develop policies that put the American people first.
I don't know what that means.
It's just racism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just racism and graft. It's like tied to Project 2025 and like all that other side of things.
Oh, okay.
America First is also just like an incredibly xenophobic, isolationist policy that Donald Trump has pushed along with a lot of other like terrible people. But again, Linda just likes being around. She likes being a part of something. And she's often, you know, she's also been seen at Mar-a-Lago and other different places. She's never denied her connections with the Trump administration. And her love of Donald Trump. And in fact, actually, there's a picture of the entire McMahon family with Donald Trump in the White House. Trump sitting behind the desk there in the Oval.
Yeah.
And all of the McMahons
hunched
over.
Yeah.
All the McMahons are there with Vince on the end. Triple H and Stephanie and Shane and all of the grandkids are there.
Yeah.
So all of them. So they're all what you would say complicit. So now, as you know, Trump was forced out of the White House by voters.
Yeah.
And then he attempted to take over the country in an unsuccessful coup.
What?
Vince had something very similar happen.
I heard that they were having a party.
No,
that's
no,
what
no.
I heard.
Vince had something actually very similar happen.
people climb the walls trying to get in?
No, no. Vince was forced out of WWE by the vote by the board.
Yep.
Of WWE, mm-hmm. It became public knowledge by a Wall Street Journal report that Vince McMahon had agreed to pay out over $12 million to four separate women over the last 16 years to suppress allegations of sexual misconduct and infidelity using company funds.
Yeah.
This was important because he had screwed up the accounting paperwork that went for his public company that went towards investors.
You got to stick to your accounting when you're paying off Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wrong one.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah, this is he literally was taken down for the exact same thing Trump was taken down for. The difference, though, is that
because of their parallelness, I've now decided that they're twin flames. Okay, they're twin flames.
What does that mean?
It's going to be part of my fanfic.
Okay, I don't like this. Here's what's crazy is Vince literally is a billionaire.
Yeah.
He could have paid, he has $12 million in change, like in his couch, but he still is so cheap. But Vince, even though it was a public company, he also was just so used to raiding the piggy bank there that he could just pay off these women. Vince was forced out of the company.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter Stephanie became co-CEO.
She's so rich.
She has bad extensions.
She could afford better hair, is all I'm saying. I'm just bringing it up for the third time.
So she and Triple H, her husband, Vince's son-in-law.
He's lame. He rides the weird motorcycle.
They become bigger in the company. But then out of nowhere, Vince somehow returned. Vince shows up one day because he actually never lost he had shares that had more control of the company.
Yeah.
So he had like 51% control. So he could just change the board whenever he wanted.
It was like Succession.
Yeah, 100%. So he showed up and he fired the board.
Yeah.
Stephanie just is like, I guess I'm leaving. And like she vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H stays. But Vince shows up and he announces that after he does all this boardroom coup, that he's going to sell the company off in a merger.
Yeah.
And he merges WWE with UFC, and they form the company TKO.
Yep.
And then that becomes this mega organization.
Yep.
And Vince is still on the board of that mega organization. Then another lawsuit becomes public because it comes out that one of the reasons why Vince had left was to deal with one person in particular who he was had signed an NDA and was promised them a $3 million payout.
Mm-hmm.
He paid that person $1 million.
That's
not three.
Uh-oh.
And then went back to the company. So Janelle Grant publicly listed her lawsuit against him in a 63-page document. In that, it is, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but it's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Vince is being accused of human trafficking, among other things. Vince McMahon immediately pulled up stakes and vanished, and then he sold off all of his shares of TKO. And now, for the first time in decades, actually almost a century, the McMahons via Vince are no longer in charge of the WWE. And this is around the same exact time that Donald Trump was found civilly liable for sexual assault in his trial at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I know in the beginning of this episode, you were like, I'm going to show you some parallels to these two people. Incredible. Like, how similar.
Yeah.
Behaviors, patterns.
And part of it, I wonder, too, is like, whether or not are they feeding off each other in some of this shit? Because they are still friends. And in fact, now that Vince is free.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have WWE. He doesn't have those responsibilities. Apparently, he's been hanging out with Trump more.
Oh,
and
perfect.
That they still regularly chat. They go on vacations together. You know, Vince will go down to Mar-a-Lago. Vince loves being in Florida. Trump's always in Florida. Both Vince and Donald only follow 50 people on Twitter. And they are the only two people that each of them follow.
Oh, my God. They are best friends.
Yeah. 100%.
If they unfollow each other, it's like, it's going to be a thing.
It's fucking insane and gross and weird and gross and insane and gross. But the thing is like, both of them have had such a stranglehold on American culture.
Yeah, they have like a weird pull in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to that they're a poor person's version of rich people, mm-hmm. and powerful people.
Yeah.
And it's like,
You gotta move. You gotta move silently, like a G in lasagna.
There are way richer people, and there are way more powerful people, and you'll never know their names.
Exactly. They move silently.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those people end up going on for generations.
Yeah.
Versus a Trump flames out. Versus a McMahon flames out. I mean, Vince is still worth like billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Donald, I think now in more recent reports, people believe he's not a billionaire anymore, but he still has millions of dollars. Like these guys in all these cases, what's crazy about it is the fact that they could
just, you know what it is? They just keep selling merch.
No. What it is they should just go sit on a fucking boat. Yeah. They're both old as fuck.
Just go retire and leave the rest of us alone.
Yeah, they're both in their late 70s. But the thing is, in both of their cases, they're also both workaholics because of this weirdness that they have of wanting to be seen as important. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they can't just relax. They can't just go sit by a pool and play with their grandkids. Yeah. They have to be seen. I mean, in both of their cases, like I said, they're both serial cheaters. They both have accusations of being involved in murders. Like there's all sorts of crazy shit that has gone on with them. And so like, yeah, like when I was first brought this topic and someone was like, hey, what's Trump's deal with WWE? I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, as I started putting it together, I was like, fuck dude, it's like, it's just two photocopies. Just
yeah.
Sucking and fucking back and forth forever. I don't know. Is that what twin flames mean?
Yep. That's part of the
sucking
fanfic.
And fucking.
No.
But yeah.
Well, thank you.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I don't know if I really learned anything that's useful to me.
I learned a lot about myself.
Yeah. You learned a lot about yourself.
Well, you know what it is? What's crazy is one of those things where I've always known Vince McMahon was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And part of the way he hid in person was by being a bad guy. By playing a bad guy.
Yeah.
So you would think like, oh, he wouldn't do this if he was actually doing it. And then like that's like hiding in plain sight. And it's very similar. Trump did the same exact thing. There's a lot in there of how much of American culture is wrestling and is pro wrestling is crazy. And it's classism that denies us from acknowledging that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your...
We're not done? No, we have patrons to give shout-outs to.
No, but I mean about this specific topic.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
You're welcome.
I am not going to sleep well tonight, and it won't be because of little baby. It'll be because I'll be up thinking about more parallels.
Of these two guys?
Yeah.
And about how they come together and on people. Yeah, it's... I didn't like that sentence.
Oh, that sounded weird.
I didn't like that sentence. All right, you know, let's just thank our patrons. Let's just thank our patrons.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Pearlmania, 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 Pearlmania.
500.net. If you want to join our Patreon, you can always do that by going to pearlmania500.net or patreon.com/pearlmania500. Mrs. P, we got quite a few people we're going to give some shout outs to this
week. Let's go.
Let me go ahead and get these pulled up here. Now, I do have, listen, if you're first time ever listening to us talk about these Patreons, you guys will know. You guys will know that I do say all the underscores, but I'm going to start off with the first one because the underscore rule has been abused.
Oh.
This is, I've never seen it be abused more by anyone in the history of underscores.
That is not a challenge.
Can I show you?
Yeah, please. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That person is not a fan. That person is your enemy.
This is definitely. All right. I'm going to start off with M first because let's just get it done. Underscore T, underscore O, underscore O, underscore M, underscore A, underscore N, underscore Y, underscore U, underscore N, underscore D, underscore E, underscore R, underscore S, underscore C, underscore O, underscore R, underscore E, underscore S, underscore under, underscore score, underscore. Too many underscores. Underscore, underscore, you fuck.
Hey, hon.
You're an enemy of me. After that, we have Rocco Privatera.
Hi, hon.
Or maybe Privatera. After that, we have an enemy of the state.
An enemy of the state.
I like that one. Yeah, like a sea enemy.
Yeah.
After that, we have Betty.
Hey, Betty.
Hey, Betty. That's my, honestly, it's slowly become my favorite Taylor Swift song.
Oh, really?
I really like Betty. There's like an emo cover of it that's really good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I put it on in the shower. Like, this is a pretty good song. Now I know what all the gaylers are talking about. After that, we have binging underscore all underscore the underscore episode.
Hey, hon.
Thank you. After that, we have Ouija board.
Get out of here, Ouija board.
After that, we have husband.
I'm just kidding. No, I didn't
don't
mean
don't
like
get
that.
Out of
it? No, I'm like, hey, hon, like, no. Don't get out of here.
No, like bored, B-O-R-E-D.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like that.
Well, no, I was thinking about our Ouija board episode.
Oh, yeah, but get out of here. After that, we have husband underscore of underscore author underscore AJ underscore Alexander.
Hey, hon.
Yeah. Husband of author AJ Alexander.
Love it.
After that, we have Kaylin Wild Thing Espinoza.
Holy shit. Hey, hun.
I love anyone whose like nickname is Wild Thing.
Yeah.
I think everyone should just, you know what? If you don't have a nickname, take Wild Thing.
Yeah.
It's a good one. You know what I mean?
I love when people that are not inherently wild.
Yeah.
Do they have silly nicknames like that. One friend of mine in particular who is just the gentlest soul in the world. I'll never forget, we went down to Nashville and we had custom lipsticks made. And the lady, I'm going to give a fake name, but the lady was like, we have to have the lipsticks engraved with like a name or whatever on them.
Yeah.
So they're personalized. And she's like, what should yours be? And she's like, oh, I don't know. My name's Natalie. And she's like, ooh, I'm going to title it Nasty Natalie. And it's like, it's a beige pink lipstick. It's for the sweetest woman in the world.
Yeah.
And every time I was giggling so hard. I love when somebody has it's like when there's a really big person and everybody calls them Tiny.
That's what I was thinking.
I love it.
I love a big dude named Tiny.
Yeah. Or a little guy named, you know, like they'll be like, ah, look at Big Shot over here. But sometimes that can be like,
no, that comes off mean. I like a big dude named Tiny because a big dude can, if he didn't like it, we would never mention it again.
Absolutely.
If a big dude, but if like the other way is that there's a thing.
That could be mean. You're right.
After that, we have come to Spokane, Washington. Portland, Oregon sucks.
Hey, hon. All right.
Well, listen, I will look into it. How about that? That's the most I can promise right now is kind of we're looking into.
I will Google Spokane.
We'll look around because here's the thing is what we've been looking at with the tour in general is one of the things is I'm quite aware that we're not going to kind of what I'd say like our most popular cities where we know we have a big thing. We're just trying to, this is a kind of a proof of concept this year. Yeah, the baby's really little. I don't know how much I want to be away from him and how much it's going to suck. How much it's going to suck for Mrs. P to be a single mom for a day or two.
Yeah.
Also, just kind of like what it's like to be on tour. I've never really dealt this much with traveling, having to go to the airport. We don't live close to an airport. So it's like all these different things that are going to come together on that and trying to figure that out and like whether or not it's financially worth it. So
yeah. But also, if the tour does really well, we'll have proof that we can do it. And therefore, other comedy clubs will have us.
Yep.
And then we can go to more cities.
But also, more importantly, we'll have proof to ourselves that it's worth leaving the house. And that's kind of where I want to figure it out.
It is so hard to leave the house.
It is so. I don't know if you all have.
They do. They know it's hard to leave the house.
But no, I want to finish my sentence. Okay. Don't cut me off. Oh, don't ever cut me off.
Oh, really? But okay. We're going to do it this way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listeners, have you ever tried sweatpants? Like, I know that they're acceptable at the Philly International Airport, but they aren't acceptable at too many other international airports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sweatpants is the official uniform of Philadelphia.
More gray sweatpants are sold per capita in Philadelphia than any other city in the United States of America.
I think it's in the world, actually.
It's probably the world.
After that, we have Dayton underscore Donkers.
Dayton Donkers?
Yeah, I'm cool with it. After that, we have finally underscore joined underscore the underscore Patreon underscore because underscore ADHD underscore is underscore a underscore hell of a underscore drug.
Yes, let's go.
After that, we have Saya Matsuki. After that, and finally, and last, oh, I like this one a lot. We have Mrs. Carter of Mars.
Mrs. Carter of Mars.
I like that a lot. Man. Also known as Deja Thoris.
Whoa.
Do you know about John Carter of Mars?
No. I just thought it was a cool name.
Oh, no. There's a, so it's a book series.
Okay.
John Carter. They try to make like a Disney movie. They were going to make a Disney franchise out of it, and it fell apart.
Okay.
I think they actually were like kind of making like something that was going to be decent, and they could have built a franchise, but then they bought Star Wars and Marvel, and Disney was like, why are we doing this again?
No.
John Carter of Mars is the story of a 1800s gentleman.
Okay.
From a specific side of a war that he lost.
Okay.
In the South, who gets transported to Mars.
Okay.
And he falls in love with like a Martian lady, and he has all these like crazy adventures, and he's basically a Superman because on Mars the gravity's lighter, so he can jump real high, and he's stronger than everybody.
So we got a jumpy Confederate on Mars?
Yes.
Wow.
But it's one of those like it was written in like I think I want to say like the 1880s or 1890s. Or maybe it was the 1900s. I don't remember. But it's written in that way of just like, oh, but he's one of the good ones. Like he's not as crazy. But it's also like pushes colonialism and all these other different things. So it has its time and place. But it's one of those stories that also gets rewritten a lot.
Well, now
and
it's in public domain. Find it. Oh, it's public domain?
Yeah, I think it's a public domain story for the most part. But you can go look around. Yeah. And Deja Thoris, she is a princess of Mars.
Okay.
And she marries John Carter.
That's a great name for a princess.
Yeah. One of her stories is called Princess of Mars.
Better than some other princesses' names.
Okay.
You ever heard the name Jessica?
Deja Thoris often has her boobs out.
Oh,
so
she nice.
Also, they're always like, hey, it's Mars. It's kind of warm. And she's like, okay, what should I wear? And they're like, nothing. And she's like, great. And I'll just put these, I'll put some nipple tassels on.
Perfect.
And that's her warrior gear.
Well, you gotta protect yourself during war, you know?
You do have to protect yourself during war. And you also have to protect yourself from so many different things in this world that are out here to hurt you. And I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
We've been in the hot room for too long.
It's very hot in here. And we have a new air conditioner coming soon. And I'm very excited about it. Mrs. P, any final thoughts?
Everybody have a great week. Okay.
Everybody?
Everybody. This isn't a suggestion. This is a demand.
Okay.
You're going to have a great week.
Okay.
Okay. It's beautiful out. The weather's supposed to hold out. I don't care where you are. I'm assuming it's 70 everywhere because that's how I don't leave the house because of the sweatpants.
Yep.
So I just assume everybody's having a nice sunny day.
Well, I want to just thank everybody here for listening, to everybody for all the fun you guys have been having. I'm going to go back to my horny fairy book now and try to get this book report together for as soon as we can. And we'll see you guys soon for another episode of
Too Many Tabs.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.